I'm Assembly Majority Leader Jim Steinke, and I'll be your host on today's episode of The Right Angle. With World Homeless Day happening last week and the Greater Milwaukee area declaring this week as Homelessness Awareness Week, newspapers around the state have joined in on increasing visibility for what is often an invisible issue. Because homelessness in Wisconsin touches every single county and community, it's an issue Republicans have focused on since 2016, when our Assembly Republican Caucus identified homelessness as a priority in the Forward Agenda. In 2017, we introduced a package of first step bills, including the creation of the Interagency Council on Homelessness, a statutory body that would bring together important players when it comes to addressing homelessness at a statewide level. 1 year later, under the leadership of Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, the council released a statewide plan, inspiring policy proposals that are being carried forward by Assembly Republicans today, a package of bills aimed at connecting people to services and making sure we are providing resources and opportunities for this vulnerable population.
Welcome back to The Right Angle, the official podcast of the Wisconsin Assembly Republicans. Every week, we'll give you an inside look at the policies and politics that are driving conversations in the Capitol and across the state. Today, Representative Pat Snyder of Schofield joins Majority Leader Jim Steinke to discuss solutions to the homelessness crisis in Wisconsin and how Republicans are learning from other states' attempts to solve the problem.
So, joining me today is Representative Pat Snyder from the Wausau area. Pat, welcome.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
So, looking back at, I know how I got involved in addressing homelessness and what my background was, but how did you get involved in this issue?
Well, it started back in 2014 when I was the outreach director for Congressman Sean Duffy. And the congressman every year held a summit, as you might have, with housing and homelessness in the 7th District of Wisconsin. And that year he brought in a gentleman by the name of Lloyd Pendleton, and he was the Housing First leader in the state of Utah, which decreased their homelessness population well under 10,000 after they implemented what is we know now as a Housing First model. So he came in and presented, and the congressman said that this was an issue that he wanted to feature every year. And so I joined United Way and the Housing and Homeless Coalition to be a representative for the congressman and have been on that committee ever since, taking part in the point in time counts. And so it's been an issue that is very near and dear to me to help get these individuals back on their feet and toward a healthy lifestyle.
So a number of years ago, when I first became involved in this issue, it was really for a single reason. It's that when I first started coming down to Madison, the number of people that were homeless on the street and in the Capitol was very visible and very shocking to me as somebody that didn't really make regular trips to Madison or Milwaukee from the Fox Valley. Now, it's something that also that shock wore off over time. And when I realized how kind of numb I had become to the issue, I was a little, to be honest, I was a little disappointed in myself. And so we started, that's when I started talking to my staff and started to try to figure out ways that we could combat the homelessness problem here in the state. And I don't know about you, I know when I started looking at this issue before I really started taking a deep dive, I had a certain idea of what homelessness looked like. I think we see it when we come to Madison, people living out on the street. Has your perception changed like mine has of what homelessness looks like in Wisconsin as you learn more about this issue?
Well, absolutely, Jim. I mean, you know, in my district, it's not quite as visible as it is in Madison. It's more, there's a gazebo area where a lot of these individuals will gather, especially in the warmer weather. But a lot of it is hidden. There's a lot of homelessness where they're couch surfing, where they're living in their cars. In the wintertime, they're at the warming shelter we have through Catholic Charities, Salvation Army. The rural area, when I was with Congressman Duffy, we learned that the rural poverty and the rural homelessness has increased, where a family might bring in their relatives, something that don't have a place. And then I also found out through the school system how many students are identified as homeless, and it's staggering.
It is, and that's one of the things that I learned over the course of time is that it is not just an urban issue, that there's both rural and urban folks and people in every corner of the state that are impacted. And one of the things that we saw as we started talking about this issue more is that there are a lot of people out there that just don't believe homelessness is an issue in their area. Do you find that similar situation up in your neck of the woods?
Yes, they don't see it. So, you know, if it's not seen, they don't quite believe it. And, you know, we look at the, you know, I try to tell the folks that, sure, Milwaukee, Dane, Racine counties, you know, have a good portion of homelessness, but over 56% are the rest of the state. And a lot of times, not only will they not see the homelessness problem, but they have a stereotype in their mind of who the homeless might be, people that just don't want to work, or alcoholics, or things of that nature. They don't know the circumstances that bring someone to that situation in their life.
Yeah, to that point, when we, and you, I know you joined us when we did some of the tours of the shelters, you know, I think the thing I learned a lot about from just talking to individuals that are homeless is everybody has a little bit of a different story, right? I know one gentleman I talked to, I think he ended up homeless, not because of drug abuse or addictions or anything like that. It was medical issues that led to increasing costs for him, and he ended up out on the street. I think that's the most important thing that we as legislators have to do is help them tell that story, mm-hmm. right, so we can make those connections.
Absolutely. So I've participated in many point-in-time counts, and this is something the federal government asks for twice a year. It's usually the third Wednesday of January and the third Wednesday of July, and what we do is we'll go out at about 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night and visit locations that we know that there has been activity with a lot of folks that are sleeping outdoors. And if they feel like they would like to talk, we try to get some of the knowledge of maybe why they are in the situation they're in, what could be done to help them. But then we also will give them some supplies and water. If it's wintertime, we'll give them some nice, dry, warm socks, blankets, things to that nature. We also tell them we have a community breakfast the next morning, which has a lot of area services that will provide them extra help in their efforts to try to find housing as well as workforce and some of the other issues that they might have. So it's a biannual event, and unfortunately some of the homeless do know it's coming, so they disappear. And it's hard to get an exact count, but we have stayed stable in the city and Wausau metro area, though last summer we did have a small increase in the folks that we found. And it's also becoming more evident that females are starting to increase in the homeless population, which has normally been mostly men. When I was doing a point in time, I came across a couple of different situations. I had a couple that were living out of their SUV, and they had a catastrophic medical problem that you know, just took them to the point where they had to be there. I had an individual that was a very successful businessman who now is working with my office on ideas of how to help get some of these individuals back into the workforce. But he was also you know, doing very well in business, but a series of things hit him and he was living in his car. But now he's coming back to help the community that he was part of. And then I had a family that I met at Salvation Army that was renting a home, and it had black mold. Mm-hmm. And they were suddenly out of a home and had no other place to go. So you're right. There's so many different various situations.
Well, and there's, along with absolutely awful stories that we heard, there's also some inspiring stories. I remember talking to a gentleman in Green Bay that had some major issues, was living out on the streets, didn't have a place to go to every night, but really changed my perception, because I just assumed that people that were homeless just had no income, had no place to work, along with no place to live. This gentleman still showed up to work every day. He went to work every day, but still had no place to sleep at night, and was really trying to fight through these struggles, but just needed that extra little help to get there. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you to this day, I think about that gentleman a lot, just the fortitude that he had in continuing to persevere even with these major issues was inspiring.
Well, and don't forget one of the great Packers, Donald Driver. He, I think, down in Texas was homeless. And, you know, look what happened to his life. And that's why I think, you know, we're getting involved in situations like that to be able to maybe help not only the family, the individuals, but the family. You know, we've learned through the stats a lot of these aren't just individual. These are one adult and at least one child that are in that situation.
Yeah, and it seems like I'm hearing from pretty much every area of the state, and I'd be interested in your take as well, the availability of affordable housing. It seems like in Northeast Wisconsin, where I'm from, all the new complexes that are being built, they're not exactly geared towards the lower income folks. They seem to be at $1,000 a month or higher in rent. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of housing stock for those that can only pay $400 or $500. Is that similar to what you're seeing?
Right. We have a couple of WEDA cooperative type places for that, but that is one of the big issues in our area as well. Affordable housing, not only for individuals, but families. And, you know, I was at a meeting in Milwaukee with an advocacy group, and I asked them, I said, what kind of incentive could we give landlords to offer more affordable low-income housing? And that, you know, they really didn't know, but that would be, you know, and then they also said that sometimes when they want to bring in the low-income housing, that neighbors in that area fight them because, you know, they have a perception of what that might mean for their neighborhood. So you're trying to get over hurdles in a lot of different areas.
Yeah, everybody wants affordable housing, but not necessarily in their backyard, right?
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the challenges, and one of the things I appreciate about your leadership on this issue with this package of bills is, along with the Interagency Council on Homelessness making recommendations, the bills really attack homelessness at every step of the way, from before people experience homelessness, trying to keep them from becoming homeless, to the point where they are, and we need to find resources and help available services that can help them get them back on their feet and becoming independent again. Can you talk a little bit about the legislation you introduced?
Yeah, my bill is actually something that we did the first session, and we're just reestablishing it with adding more money, and it is the Housing Assistance Program, and the bill will add $900,000 more annually. It's a 300% increase from what we had, and it's flexible. It's one of the state's most flexible funder of permanent supportive housing, not only the rapid rehousing, similar, you know, like the mold situation I had for that family,
right,
and also transitional housing, you know, for the folks that are coming out of a program that needs that certain housing, because getting a roof over their head is so important. Let's get them in a shelter and then start working on some of the issues they have. And not only that, but it's important through my work with the children and families of getting these children into an educational system where they can stay and not be moved around to different places because of some of the trauma that's involved in that. So stability is a big thing too, and I think that bill will add more money and more availability for our different agencies to be able to get these folks into housing.
Absolutely, and I appreciate that, and I know both of us believe that just throwing money at the problem isn't going to solve it. We need to be targeted in our investments. That's why I appreciate the work you've done on that legislation, because I think it is a targeted investment that has proven results. And I think that's one thing that people have to keep in mind as well, is that when it comes to how much Wisconsin spends on combating homelessness in relation to some of our surrounding states, it's really a small amount. Because the way we've neglected the issue over decades here in Wisconsin, we've really fallen behind our neighboring states in how much we're dedicating towards this issue. And it's not a liberal or conservative issue. It really is just a humanity issue. And if you look at, I saw just recently where an individual experiencing homelessness can cost the state up to $35,000 a year. I think as a conservative, I want to solve that problem to make sure that they become independent and can survive on their own without the help of government. Is that how you feel as well?
I do. I'm in the same boat, and I try to tell fellow legislators and my constituents that if we invest early, not only in the homelessness situation, but the out-of-home, you know, the prevention for child welfare, things to that nature, that it will pay off in the long run, where they're not on state assistance. They're not in our correctional system, which homelessness could also be. It's more of an investment where, you, like you said, we get the things they need to become healthy and to get a career, and then they're taxpayers. And they stay hopefully right here in the state of Wisconsin. So, yeah, I see it as an investment. I don't see it as some handout and where you just give money and say, we'll see you later.
Yeah, and I know one of the things that we do as legislators often is look at other states and what they're doing and trying to not recreate the wheel if something's working in other states. I know the Interagency Council of Homelessness was based off of a Minnesota model. We created that here based off of that. Are there things that you're looking at in other parts of the country that work?
I think, you know, again, when we brought in Lloyd Pendleton in the state of Utah, the Housing First model, I really was impressed with. And I know Milwaukee County has kind of identified that as well. So I guess I would get them in shelter first where they could turn a key and it's their place. Talking with United Way and the advocate group that I was visiting with in Milwaukee, they said that they have people that they have to teach to not only get into a home and live there, but then to use the indoor bathroom. They're used to going, in the outdoors. And so they have to get, it is an adjustment. And for us that have never been in that situation, we just don't know. And again, we got to remember that a good portion of our homeless population do have some mental issues that need to be addressed. So there's a lot of issues there, but we can't let it go undone.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the questions I get a lot is, okay, you've taken this first step. Where do we go from here? And my answer is, in the short term, we need to get the bills through the Senate so they can get to the governor's desk. But once we do that, where do you think we go from here with this effort?
I think from this point on, once we start addressing this a little bit more and identifying it a little bit more, I'd love to press the federal government and HUD to recognize folks that don't have a permanent resident that might be, as the term, couch surfing, to be considered as homeless. So maybe some of the federal money would be there as well. I think that once we have the Housing First model, I do like workforce development maybe to get more involved. I know like the Joseph Project that Senator Johnson has done, that is just something that's phenomenal, where they get the training and not only that on how to interview for jobs, but gets them back on their feet. So I think that we just can't get them in a house. A lot of these folks need the extra assistance as a hand up to be able to get into the workforce again and to try to get healthy, be it an addictive. I had a gentleman that was homeless because he had a huge gambling addiction. So sure, the help they need there to get themselves steered away from that. And for the general population to not think that, oh, these people just don't have willpower, but to look at this as several have situations, including illnesses, that need to be addressed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the other things that's important beyond those is the work of the Interagency Council. I'm really hoping that we don't lose momentum there. Yeah. I know under the leadership of Lieutenant Governor Clayfish, they came up with this series of recommendations. I'm really hopeful that with Governor Evers as chair of the Interagency Council on Homelessness, we don't lose that momentum, and they continue to come up with ideas on how we can move forward on this issue and continuing to do our best, the best that we can, to combat homelessness here in the state. So
right, and not only focus on Milwaukee, because I do know that next summer it'll be a little busy down there, and I'm sure that the governor wants to have the best look in Milwaukee there is. So don't forget about the rest of the state.
Absolutely. All 72 counties
That's
are
right.
affected. Well, thanks a lot, Representative Snyder, for joining me to talk about this important topic.
Well, thank you, Representative Steinicke, for your leadership and your forward involvement in keeping this on the front burner and moving it forward in Wisconsin.
Great. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
And that's The Right Angle on Homelessness. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe. Just search for The Right Angle on iTunes and Google Play, Radio Public, Breaker, Overcast, and Pocket Casts. Have an idea for a guest or topic? Tweet us at Wisconsin Assembly GOP. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.